Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 20, the Dynasty of Puru, text number 21. Matabrastra pitu putro. Yena datas eva saha. Bharasva putram dushmanta. Mava mamsta. Shakuntalam Mata, the mother, Brastra, like the skin of a bellows containing air. Pitu, of the father, Putra, the son, Yena, by whom? Jata, one is born. Saha, the father. Eva, indeed. Saha, the son. Bharasva, just maintain. Putram, your son. Dushmanta, Amaharaj Dushmanta. Ma, do not. Avamamsta, insult. Shakuntalam, Shakuntala. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The voice said, O Maharaj Dushmanta, a son actually belongs to his father, whereas the mother is only a container, like the skin of a bellows. According to Vedic injunctions, the father is born as the son. Therefore, maintain your own son and do not insult Shakuntala. Purport. According to the Vedic injunction, Atmavai Putra Namasi, the father becomes the son. The mother is simply like a storekeeper, because the seed of the child is placed in her womb, but it is the father who is responsible for maintaining the son. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that He is the seed-giving father of all living entities, Aham Bija Prada Pita, and therefore He is responsible for maintaining them. This is also confirmed in the Vedas. Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. Although God is one, He maintains all living entities with their necessities for life. The living entities in different forms are sons of the Lord, and therefore the Father, the Supreme Lord, supplies them food according to their different bodies. The small ant is supplied a grain of sugar, and the elephant is supplied tons of food. But everyone is able to eat. Therefore, there is no question of overpopulation. Because of the Father, Krishna is fully opulent, there is no scarcity of food. And because there is no scarcity, the propaganda of overpopulation is only a myth. Actually, one suffers for want of food when material nature, under the order of the Father, refuses to supply him food. It's a living entity's position that determines whether food will be supplied or not. When a diseased person is forbidden to eat, this does not mean that there is a scarcity of food. Rather, a diseased person requires the treatment of not being supplied with food. In Bhagavad Gita 7.10, the Lord also says, Bijamam Savabhutanam, I am the seed of all living entities. A particular type of seed is sown within the earth, and then a particular type of tree or plant comes out. The mother resembles the earth, and when a particular type of seed is sown by the father, a particular type of body takes birth. Voice said, O Maharaj Dushmanta, a son actually belongs to his father, whereas the mother is only a container, like the skin of a bellows. According to the Vedic injunctions, the father is born as the son. Therefore, maintain your own son and do not insult Shakuntala. Janma karma chami divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyatvadeham panarjanma naiti mam eti sorjana. That one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities is not upon leaving this body take birth again, but attains my transcendental abode. In other words, the whole Vedic literature is simply meant to understand and accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with all the different aspects of what it means that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For instance, here it says, Sarva yonashi kontiya morti yaksambhavantiya tasam brahma maha jyotiya ham bija pradapita. It should be understood, O son of Kunti, that I am the seed-giving father in all living entities, of all living entities. In other words, that in every aspect, Krishna is the origin. And that one who knows Krishna, as it says, Yomam eva asamudo janati purushottama sasarva vipajante mam sarvabhave nabharata. That one who knows Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, is said to be the knower of everything. And therefore, he engages himself in full devotional service. Iti guyatamam shastram idam yuktvamayanaga etam budva buddhimatsyat krita kritasravarata. This is the most confidential part of all the Vedic literature, that whoever knows this will become a wise and his endeavors will know perfection. In other words, the whole idea is to find out who Krishna is and how great he is. And what is our relationship with him, and how to discover all this through the process of serving Krishna with devotion. So as it mentions here, that one has to accept Krishna as the father of everyone. And that everything we're doing has a relation with Krishna. Krishna is in everyone's heart, and we're all eternally dependent upon him to give us remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. We may imagine ourselves to be independent of Krishna, but that's simply an illusion. Whether we recognize Krishna or not, still we're completely dependent upon him. As a matter of fact, they think that some people are praying to Krishna, but they don't realize that everyone is praying to Krishna. Praying to Krishna in the form of desire. Because everything depends upon our desire. Which desires we choose. If we choose the right desire, then we get closer to Krishna. And if we choose the wrong desire, then we get further away from Krishna. And generally we can understand which desires we're choosing by watching our activities, both subtly and grossly. We can see if we've chosen the right desire or the wrong desire. But we only understand that if we actually understand what Krishna's desires are. So that requires understanding Krishna, understanding five factors. Krishna, the living entity, the material nature, time, and karma, as explained in Bhagavad Gita. If we understand these five factors, then we can understand Krishna more clearly. Otherwise, why Krishna says, if you understand me, you know everything, why bother talking about karma or time or the material nature or the living entity? Why not just talk about Krishna? Because everything and everyone has a relationship to Krishna. And we can only understand what Krishna wants us to do if we understand things according to desha, kala, patra, time, place, and circumstance. So the place is material nature, the time is kala, and the audience are the other living entities. And the result of understanding things is that we perform activities which might liberate us or may entangle us. Therefore, to understand what Krishna wants, for instance, how far away civilization is from what Krishna wants. For instance, we know that Krishna is a cowherd boy in Goloka Vrindavan. And he's eternally a cowherd boy. It's not that he's just practicing to maybe he'll get a better job if he works at it hard, very diligently and sincerely. Maybe one day he'll become, you know, an engineer in Goloka Vrindavan, or become a lawyer. Eternally, he's a cowherd boy. Now, if you tell someone, my God is a cowherd boy, they think, oh, now I understand you very, I can understand the Hare Krishnas. They think God is a cowherd boy. Even Brahma, he heard from the demigods that God was on the earth. And he came down to see, and he saw God as a cowherd boy. Not only that, he has fruit salad in his hand. Not only has fruit salad in his hand, he has it in his left hand, which is completely unvedic. The left hand is not for eating. But this cowherd boy is walking around with fruit salad in his left hand. And he's herding cows. And he's God. So Brahma wanted to test this so-called God. And he stole all the cows and the cowherd boys and hid them in a cave to see what this cowherd boy would do. Of course, we know from the history that Brahma discovered that indeed Krishna was God or is God, because he was able to expand himself exactly into each cowherd boy and calf and live for 1 year, simultaneously expanded as all these cowherd boys and calves. And when Lord Brahma came back after a moment of his time, he saw that actually these cowherd boys and the calves were still in their homes. They were still playing with Krishna. And he checked the place where he put the cowherd boys and the calves that he had put into sleep and stolen, and he found out that they were still there. So he became very confused. Of course, Krishna, these cowherd boys and calves are all expansions of Krishna, so therefore Krishna, before Brahma, expanded himself into all these Vishnu forms, which completely bewildered Brahma. That if Brahma, the creator of this universe, could not understand Krishna, what to speak of ourselves? Now, why is Krishna a coward boy? Because why not? Why can't he herd cows? He likes the cows. Of course, they're not ordinary cows. They're Sarabi cows. They give whatever one desires. And they also have love for Krishna. As a matter of fact, if Krishna was God as he is in Dwarka, or especially in Vaikuntha, there's a limit to how much Krishna can enjoy. But if he's just a prince, a cowherd prince in Goloka Vrindavan, with nothing to do, he doesn't have to, he herds cows, but they herd themselves, practically speaking. They're more intelligent than anyone in this universe, these cows. He has nothing to do. He just except to play with his cowherd boyfriends and dance with the gopis. What better is and to love and be loved. In Goloka Vrindavan, there's no awe and reverence, and therefore there's very intimate relationships. If you want to become the lord of someone and control them, then the relationship is, at least without love, then the relationship is not as interesting, it's not as expansive, it's not as pleasurable as if the loving relationship is simply based on exchange of love, pure love. So that's what Krishna wants. Bhakti imam abhijananti yavanchasmi tatvataha. But when he sees that the living entities in this universe, they don't want to follow Krishna's instruction and come to the platform of love, loving exchanges with him, because that's what Krishna's instructions lead to, but instead to make their lives unpleasant, make other people's lives unpleasant, then Krishna tries to stop them by trying to teach them through his energy, material nature, that to give up Krishna, to defy Krishna, is not a good idea. Therefore, when people are sinful, like they were under King Vena. King Vena declared himself to be God, just like mostly nowadays everyone thinks they're God. God meaning not that they're controlling the universe, because some crazy people think like that, but they think that I'm the Lord of this or that, this is mine, and I'm going to enjoy this. They think that this material nature, which is always flickering and changing, which they can't control, even their own bodies, belongs to them. But if it belonged to them, why don't they stop it from changing? If you think something belongs to you, the preliminary qualification for it to belong to you, you must be able to control it. If I say this is my book, and I try to walk out of here, and five people jump on me and take the book away from me, then how can I claim it's my book? If I can't get anything to get it, do anything to get it back, then how can I claim it's my book? It's just some conception it's my book. Similarly, this body that we hold is me, what to speak of belonging to me, even we think it is me, but it's always disappearing. At every moment, it's changing. So which body belongs to us? Which body can we hold on, say, this is mine, but it changed. It's not there anymore. You have a new body. So we can't stop the body from changing, then we can't claim it's ours because we can't control it. Just like Hiranyakashipu, he had enough intelligence to understand that if I want to become God in this universe, the controller of the universe, first of all, I have to control my own body. If you can't even control your thumbnail, how can you claim you're controlling the universe? Stop your thumbnail. Stop growing. And they say, yes, sir, I bow down before I'll stop growing. But if we can't even control our thumbnail, how can we claim we're God? We're not even God over our thumbnail. So he wanted to stop from death. Wanted to prevent himself from dying. And he went over undergoing severe austerities for 120 years of the demigods, not eating, sleeping, and eventually not even breathing, just sitting there meditating on Brahman. And yet, he died. Even after getting all the benedictions from Lord Brahma, he wouldn't die during the day or the night, inside or outside, by animal, beast, or whatever. Still, he died anyhow. Krishna came and killed him. Mrityu sarva harashchaham. Just like Krishna's taking our body away all the time, at every moment. And yet we think we're not going to die, but we're dying at every moment. At least his body is changing. Therefore, one should try to recognize who's behind this whole thing and try to live in harmony with him. Otherwise, just like in the case of Vena, who declared himself to be God and wouldn't follow Krishna's instructions, or the instructions of his representatives, the Brahmins. Therefore, he stopped sacrifice, yajna, for Vishnu. And therefore, because sacrifice is stopped, everyone's activities were useless, were sinful. And the result is that after Vena was killed, Prithu Maharaj appeared, and still the earth refused to give food grains to the residents because they were all sinful. Mother Earth said, why should I feed the demons? Why should I feed a snake, milk of bananas, and make it more poisonous? Better restrict them, let them become weak, and maybe they'll become a little humble. They think they're great, powerful demons, they're going to control me, but let me just starve them, and then let them become humble, and they may realize that they're not the controllers. And maybe they may turn to Krishna and make some progress. So the idea of Mother Nature restricting is not just to punish the living entity, but to teach them so that they become humble and they take shelter of their real controller, Krishna, and follow his directions. And then Krishna is willing to give all kinds of opulence. Anad bhavati bhutani, parjana anasambhava, jagna bhavati bhutani, Anad bhavati bhutani parjana jagna sambhava jagna bhavati sambhava samuda. Anad bhavati bhutani parjana anad sambhava. Jagna bhavati parjanyo jagna karma samudbhava. Karma bravodvavan vidi brahmakshara samudbhavam. Tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam jagna pratishtitam. That all living entities subsist on food grains, which are produced from rain. And rain comes from the performance of sacrifice, and sacrifice is born of man's prescribed duty. Prescribed duty is explained in the Vedas, and the all-pervading the Vedas exists on the order, on the direction of the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even if we want to eat, then we have to follow Krishna's directions. We have to perform sacrifice. We have to follow Krishna. In this age, of course, it's chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, which people have to be introduced to. Otherwise, we can see, even there's food grains, but the leaders, they want to kill the people. Because people are sinful. They've elected sinful leaders. The sinful leaders want to kill the sinful people because they're all sinful. It's not that if someone becomes a demon, they become a nice demon. Demons are not nice. People who don't follow Krishna's directions can't have any good qualities. Although they may put on a pretense that we love you, we want to protect you, we want to help you. But actually, all the demons they want to do is exploit each other. So, now they're seemingly creating the crises in Europe here. They destroy the pipeline between Russia and Europe. They're restricting all kinds of natural resources, fertilizer. But they're creating it purposely, seemingly purposely, because Krishna is giving the demons the intelligence to inflict pain upon the sinful people so they can wake up and take the Krishna consciousness. So nothing is happening by accident. If they want to kill the cows, then they're going to get the reactions for it. If they want to kill their children, they're going to get the reactions for it. And if they want to kill each other, they'll get the reactions for it. And the only solution is to find out what the actual purpose of life is. And it's not unrestricted sense gratification. It's to surrender to Krishna and follow his direction. Not surrender to the senses and follow the dictation which leads to the darkest regions of ignorance. Follow Krishna to lead to the brightest future of eternal happiness rather than follow the senses which lead to the lower species of life. So Krishna is the Father. He's trying to tell us. He's spoken to Srimad Bhagavad Gita. He's given us Srimad Bhagavatam. He's trying to help us make the right choices. But we have freedom. If we want to act like a dog and a hog and a camel and an ass, Krishna will give us the intelligence how to do it. But we have to get the consequences for that too, which are not very pleasant. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. Microphone. How come we don't have any microphone anymore?
Hare Krishna.
There's no more microphone here. You've given up on the microphone? What's that?
Recorder.
Where?
It's not there.
It's not there. Not there. It used to be there, but it disappeared. Why no recorder anymore? Not working. Why don't we get another one that works? Anyhow, go on.
Let's say an atheistic person says, we know why there is life. Therefore, we don't need religion.
Really, what is your understanding of what is life?
Why there is life?
Yeah, tell me. You say you know why there is life. Why is there life?
No, I didn't say I know. I'm just saying if there is an atheistic person and says we don't need religion, we already know why there is life.
Tell me.
Suggesting that there is scientific some kind of scientific explanation.
So tell me, what is this, your scientific explanation how life comes about? Well, then you're just bluffing. You don't know. What's that? Nobody knows why there's life. You mean you don't know? Because you don't know. It doesn't mean that nobody knows. Have you asked everyone in the universe whether they know or not? So how can you say no one knows? It means you don't know. That's all. Anything else? Yes.
Maybe on this point, sometimes you meet these people who are scientific, but most of the time there's no point in discussing with them because it's not rational. So when it's good to bring for some arguments, and when we just like...
Well, just ask them, if you think life comes from matter, if scientifically, then prove it. Take a dead body and inject something into it and bring back life. If you can't do that, then you don't know. You're not a scientist. You're not following the scientific process. Prove it. Taking a dead body, put something into it, and bring it back to life. If life comes from matter, then prove it. Take life and put something into it that life comes out of it. Otherwise, you're just bluffing. You don't know. But we find that if you take a man who's alive and a woman who's alive, then they can produce something else that's alive. But we don't find a dead man and a dead woman coming together and producing life. So life comes from life. All right. Kwala Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.